All right. Happy Hanukkah. Chag Sameach. We say in Israel, we say Chag Urim Sameach, the festival of light, be a happy festival of lights. This festival, though, is many of you, we're told one story, but there's actually a really, well, kind of a second story, a more historical story to this holiday than many of us know. Hanukkah comes from the book of what's known as the Maccabees. It's part of the Apocrypha. It's a historical book that wasn't considered to be canonical. It wasn't brought into the scriptures. But it is available to read. And it's mostly just an account of the wars that the Jews fought against the Syrian Greeks around 167 to 164 BCE. And where they get the story of Matityahu, not the rapper, who's a Jewish priest and his five sons who fought against them and rededicated the temple back to God. Do we have the slides? We good? Okay, so this story, what I wanted to tell today is figured, it's Shabbat Chanukah. And given what Rabbi Michael's talking about with the outreach and we've been talking about prayer and spiritual growth, I wanted to talk about something very important. We're going to read about in Ephesians, putting on the armor of God. Why? Because we're at war. It's not that we're believed and we just hang around until we're saved and then we're good. We're at war. We were born into a war, and then when we got saved, we're even more aware that we're at war. Hanukkah is a story of war. We make it sound like it's just about lighting candles and eating fat food. It's really about a story of war. And so it's good if many of you are soldiers, and you know more than I. But I do have an affinity towards this stuff. I like reading a lot of books and special forces, American or Israeli. And the thing a soldier has to know is that, A, to know if you're at war, and then B, how to defeat the enemy. Because if you don't know those two, you're going to die. So you have to, let's win. Our goal is to win. So let's figure out what's going on with this war. So next slide. So Hanukkah really is a victory over evil. There's a prayer within the Siddur that talks about this. And even if you notice that everyone says, oh, Yeshua is the light of the world at Hanukkah, but that's not actually mentioned in Hanukkah, if you notice. When he says the light of the world, it's during Sukkot. Yeshua mentions that he and the Father are one during Hanukkah, and that his works are conquering over darkness. I won't get into all the theological stuff, but the point is here is that Hanukkah is really about the victory over the Jews against the Greeks. And why we light 8 candles? The story of the oil came later. Really what's in the book is about that the Jews couldn't celebrate Sukkot, because the temple was defiled. So they did it later in the month of Kislev, not in Tishrei, because Sukkot is an 8-day festival, so they celebrated it later. That's why there's 8 days. The rabbis didn't like the Hasmoneans. They didn't like these priests because they also set themselves up as kings. Not a little historical tangent, but it's all right. Priests were not to be kings. They were separate. But these priests set themselves up as kings. And the later rabbi said, we don't like this. These guys are not doing what's so kosher. So they developed a later story to celebrate this cruse of oil they found. It's still nice. I mean, I'm not going to give away latkes. But the 8-day comes from, it's really about a military victory and celebrating God now that the temple's been rededicated. All this is to say is that just like them, we are at war. And Rabbi Shaul tells us exactly how to win this war. We're going to find this in Ephesians 6. Next. Okay, it's a little small, but don't worry. I'm going to go through it verse by verse. And I know the picture's cheesy, but it's the only one I could find that all the other pictures, ironically, were usually like Roman guys. And I thought, it doesn't go so well with the Jewish thing. You know? Maybe we don't understand it now, but to Jews back then, Romans were like Nazis. So when you see like, oh, we're Christian soldiers dressed like Romans, well, maybe for the Roman believers, they might have understood it to some degree, But even though they persecuted Christians, the non-Jewish Christians. So here, at the end of his letter to the Ephesians, which is a very powerful letter, and I encourage you to read it. It's only 6 chapters. He goes through and admonishes them the reality of Yeshua, that we have every spiritual blessing in heaven is ours now through Yeshua. That he's made the two one, that Jew and Gentile now one humanity. And then he goes on further and talks about the order of things and how we should be together and how we, man, you know, wives submitting to their husbands and husbands laying down their lives for their wives through the slaves and children. And at the very end of it, he says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his might. And the last thing he tells us to do is be prepared. You are up against a fight. So you need to be prepared. You think about it, even, I always go back to the special forces coming because they're the toughest. These guys are trained nonstop. Their minds are stronger than their bodies. But they're ready so that when war comes, they don't even think. They've been trained so well that it's instinctual. And that's what we're going to be. And in Hebrew, you know, going back to the Ve'ahavta, when it says, and you shall teach them diligently to your children. In Hebrew, it says, Vishinantam. It's the same word used in modern Hebrew, Lishanen, to go over. Like you're going over your lines for a script. You're doing it over and over and over and over. It doesn't use the word to teach, Lelamed. It uses the word Lishanen, to repeat, 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 so that it becomes instinctual. You don't think about it. It's just inside of you. So we're going to go through this piece by piece and see why. And he goes through great detail. He's going to say, we're at war, so be strong in God. We're going to see specifically what he's telling us to do so that we can be prepared and win. We're to be prepared so we can win. Next. So the first thing he says, the very end of his letter, is be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, which I love. And it goes perfectly with the parasha and the haftarah. That, and notice it doesn't say just be strong in his mighty power. It says first we have to be strong in the Lord. We have to know him. And that he is our strength. As Joseph said to Pharaoh, it's not me. He did it. And as the angel tells Zerubbabel, he says, not by might nor by power, but in my spirit. We have to know him, to be close to him, and then from there flows the power of God. Yeshua is very strong. He uses strong language in Matthew 7, where he says, many will come to me in that day and say, we've exorcised demons. We've done great miracles in your name. He says, I don't know you. Don't be confused just because someone may exercise the power of God that they know God. Remember, Pharaoh's necromancers, his magicians, made stakes out of sticks too. It's just that God's stick ate their stick. But he says to them, he says, not those, only those who do the will of my Father. Those are the ones whom I know. So what does this say? Obedience is greater than doing great miracles. Check yourself. Do I know him and do I obey him? And there I can be trusted with the power of God. So the first thing we're going to learn is that we have to know him and to be seek to be obedient. And then in the small things. Then you'll be given big things. Then you'll be given power. But never let that get to your head. Always seek. I want to know you and I want to do your will. And I will encourage you, there's a lot in this message. I do encourage you to take notes. Of course, it'll be recorded. But take notes, there's a lot in here. And it's purposeful what's in here because it's relevant to what the message is saying. Next slide. Okay, so what's he say? Know God, do work, be strong in his power. Put on the full armor of God. Not some of it, all of it. So that you are able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Why do we have to put on this armor? So that we can win. He's saying that you're going to be attacked, so this is so you don't get knocked down. We have to be strong. Put all of it on. Right? One of the things that Navy SEALs do is they tell the guys, clean your rooms, and then the instructors come in there, and they go under the beds, and they look for sand. You know, they're on the beach in Coronado in California. And if they find sand, they say, go out and run. And they say, why? They push them so hard. They said, because look, if you can clean your room, then you'll make sure that you have all your gear ready when you go out to war. So we need to be prepared that we have everything we need so that when we go out to war, we're going to win. He says, Shaul says, and elsewhere in Ephesians 4, 14 to 15, he talks about, don't we not should be like children tossed to and fro with every doctrine and every cunning of man by schemes, machinations. When this world is full of information, it's going to throw you this way. I believe in this. Well, I believe in that. I believe in this. Don't get fazed by these things. Don't be moved by these things. Stand strong in God. Be able to speak the truth in love to become like Yeshua. Yeshua was bombarded constantly with attack, with trickery, with disbelief. It said even at one point his brothers didn't even believe in him. He didn't get down. He was unfazed. Why? Because he knew God and he stood strong in his power. And he was ready for this. And he always spoke exactly the truth in love, how it needed to be said. Sometimes it's tough, sometimes it's light, but he knew how to do it. Next. Okay, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the worldly forces of this darkness, and against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. That's pretty intense. Sounds like the forces behind ISIS. Seriously. This isn't some sort of Muslim, we're angry thing. This is pure evil working through man. But that's what we have to see. Even however evil someone may look, this is what's going on. There are spiritual forces influencing man to do evil. And consequently, like Brooke was saying, I love you, Brooke. You don't have to ever be afraid. That there's spiritual forces behind us doing good. And we don't lose. There's not a question, oh, we will not lose. Because look at this. This is really powerful. It says Yeshua, it's on Ephesians 1, 20 to 21. Yeshua is seated, the Father has seated him above all these powers. He's seated. He's above them. They might look daunting to us, but he's seated. And guess who's seated there with him? We are. It says in chapter 2, verse 6, we are seated with him in heavenly places. We are above these things. That's not to give us arrogance, but confidence that these things are below us. Because we're in him, as he says in Colossians 3, we're hidden with Messiah in God. This is not going to faze us. Yeah, we will get persecuted. Don't be deceived. We'll be attacked. But the victory is already won. And what's really cool in Colossians 2:15, he says he's already made a spectacle of these powers. He's embarrassed them. It's like he's pulled, you know, remember the Wizard of Oz? Pulls the curtain. Pay no attention behind the man behind the curtain. That's what he's done to them. The spiritual curtain's been opened. We see the darkness for what it is, and he says, all that they had against us, he's erased with his sacrifice. And then he's taken the power of death. He now has that power. They have nothing against us. And one of the goals of the body of believers, as he says in Ephesians 3:10, is to make known this wisdom, that is the gospel of the kingdom of God, what he's done for us in his end time plans to bring the kingdom of God to this planet, is to make it known to these powers. In actuality, we are to inform spiritual beings by living out the life of God and Yeshua through us and the power. That's amazing. That's an amazing statement. We always think angels tell us that. They do tell us stuff. They're messengers of God. But God has also a message for us to tell the spiritual forces. that Yeshua is risen from the dead. And that all authority has been given into his hand, and then consequently, who did he give it to? Us. That we have the power to have demons attacking someone to say, get out in Yeshua's name. They have to get out. We have that authority through him. That's a big weapon. Right. Next. One more. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you may be able to resist when the times are evil, and after you have done everything, to stand firm. Did we miss something? No, you're right. So he says, he reminds us again, he says it twice, take up the full armor of God, not so we can resist the schemes of the devil, but resist when times are evil. Are times evil today? Yeah. Oh, yeah. And he says to what to do in that time, stand strong. Don't sit down. Don't back down. Doesn't mean you be a punk, but stand. Stand up. People in this world are tossed to and fro. They're confused. They don't know what's going on. Stand strong. Stand firm because we're standing in him, right? He who hears my words and does them is like, he builds his house upon a rock. So when the winds come and the rains fall and the floods come, it stands. Know him. Do his will. Next. All right. So then he says, stand firm then. I think he's making a point. Stand strong. Be a man and a woman of God. Stand up. Don't back down. And what is the first thing he tells us to put on is the belt of truth. Keep your pants on. Right? The last thing you want to do is walk outside. I'm ready to go. And they fall down. This is essential. You need your belt. You need to be strapped. You need to be clothed. You need to be ready. What does this remind us of? It's same language used in for the story of Pesach in Exodus 12. Where he says, how are you going to eat this? Keep your pants on. Put your belt on. Have your sandals on. Have your staff in your hand. Eat this in haste. You got to be ready. Right? And Peter tells us in 1 Peter 1:11, 1:13 that the enemy is walking around like a lion, looking at whom he may devour. So he says, be alert. Be sober-minded. It means you know that this guy doesn't sleep. So we can't be caught with our pants down. You have to be ready and be watchful. It's not to create, I don't want anyone becoming neurotic, but just being mindful, being attentive, looking, being aware. Then he says, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. Well, think about, what does a breastplate do? It's a breastplate, right? It protects your breast, your chest. What's behind there? Your most important thing is your heart. The knowing that the salvation of God has wrought us the righteousness of God through Yeshua, that's what protects here. And also, the imagery of my whole chest, my whole thoracic part, is that it protects the vital organs from the front. And in Hebrew, oftentimes when it says, my innermost being, it says, biklayotai, my kidneys. So it speaks about even stuff going on down here. The righteousness of God protects our most intimate, deep parts of ourselves. Not on our merit. But it also gives me the imagery of, when you see someone who's confident, is their chest low or high? It's high. Their chest is up. They're proud. Not because of what have I done, but because of what have he has done. So what does this tell us? Know that our salvation relies in him, and nothing that we can do can damage that. That we can trust in him and saying, I am righteous because of him. That an enemy may come against you and say, you're not righteous, isn't it? You're right, I'm not, but he is. So you can't faze me. Next. Strap up your feet in readiness with the good news of shalom. Similarly to the belt, we have to have our feet, we have to have sandals on our feet. I like this particularly because it's sandals and not shoes or boots. You know, being from California or in Israel, sandals are good. But we have to be also, this also speaks that we have to be ready to go out and speak. And we see in Isaiah 52:7, it says, how beautiful are the feet of those who come to bring good tidings, whatever tidings are, to preach peace. Let's speak English. They preach peace. Tell there's good news. Yeshua has paid our penalty and has come as to bring us out of darkness into light. We have to be ready to go. As Rabbi Michael is saying, when you go out, you're at the gym, you're at the post office, you're at the store, you're wherever, be ready to go and preach the good news. It doesn't have to necessarily be so verbal, but go pray for someone, go to bless someone, be listening to someone and share how much God loves them in Yeshua. Be ready to do these things wherever you go. Next. Above all, well, it really, I looked it up in the Greek in a couple of different translations, more like in all or in everything. Take up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. So wherever you go, you got to make sure you have this shield. Now this is a shield, the imagery of one scholar was saying is like those big shields, not a little shield, the big ones that often these soldiers would hide behind when they would shoot arrows down. And what's fascinating about this is it doesn't just block these arrows. Notice that these are flaming arrows, but it extinguishes them. And it, to me, I think of it doesn't just protect us from harm, but the enemy not only will try to harm us, but will try to frighten us. If you saw your sword, there's an arrow inside of it, and it's on fire. That's kind of scary. But this shield, it extinguishes that fire. The fear of the enemy, we're protected. Why? Because of our faith in God. That he, again, is seated with Yeshua at his right hand above all these powers. That we have faith that what God has begun, he will complete. That we have faith that those whom we've called, he will sanctify and bring us into his kingdom. Keeping our eyes on God, as you read earlier, this Psalm 123 or 121, we keep our eyes up on God. Whenever the enemy shoots at us, don't worry about it. Next. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So our salvation is that we are protected. Our minds are protected. Our thoughts are protected. Know that we have been saved. It's been accomplished. And also, it puts into our minds that the battle is the Lord's. There are many references to this, but there's one particular, 2 Chronicles 20:15. Knowing that this battle belongs to God, we have to keep that in our minds. If that had the 10 spies known this, had they kept it here, they wouldn't have said what they did. Caleb and Joshua knew this. They said, we can't win in our own strength. These dudes were huge. But they knew that God could beat them. They know that salvation, victory, belonged to God. So who's greater than God? And we also know, a lot of people think of salvation as just our end result. But salvation is now too. You know, in John 16:33, Yeshua says, in this life you will have troubles. But be of good cheer, I've overcome this world. And then Shaul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:8, he also calls this the hope of salvation. So we have hope. And that helps us to get through these things, knowing that somehow, some way, in some timing, God will bring us through these troubles now and in even when we come to death's door. And of course, there's the big one of the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Imagine going out to the desert of Israel by yourself for 40 days and not eating. And then imagine after those 40 days, the liar of all liars comes to you and offers you everything that you want to have, but he does it through manipulating, lying ways. And how does Yeshua combat him? Quoting Scripture. Straight from the Torah. He doesn't even argue with him. He doesn't do with Eve like, well, hey, maybe. She should have said, God said this. The story would have been over. But she played with him. Yeshua would have said, nope, it's written. Should have only, don't test the Lord your God. I only worship him. I don't live by bread alone, but what comes out of his mouth. And what happens when he says, when the time of testing was over, he left. Notice that his weapon was simply just quoting the words of God. He didn't say, I rebuke you, devil. There's the times it's appropriate to do that. But more important than anything, you have to know the word. That's your weapon. You can yell at the devil all you want. But if it's not backed up by the word, what weapon are you using? Your excitement, your energy, your passion, those are good. But use it with the word. Know the word. Know your weapon. It's the best soldiers, they can field strip their guns blindfolded. They know exactly what to do and they know exactly what's wrong when something's wrong. You know the word. Know your weapon. So when you come up to things, you just say it. Cut right to the matter. Next. And pray in the Ruach, in the Spirit, on every occasion, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, keep alert with perseverance and supplication for all the Kedoshim, the holy ones, the saints. So with all this, we need to have communication with headquarters. We need to be praying in the Spirit. Now, some of you have the gift of tongues, some of you don't. That's okay. Ask the Spirit, pray, to say, guide me, teach me, show me. What are my orders? Where should I go? Where do you want to go? When we pray, there's an aspect of listening while we speak. When we pray, we're asking what is on God's heart. The Spirit communicates that to us, sometimes with groanings too deep for words and sometimes with words. But and if you're stuck, even at the you have no idea what to do, open the Scriptures and pray that. He inspired those words, so they're from him. You don't know what to pray? Open up the book of Psalms. Pray. You can't go wrong. You want a class on prayer? Pray the Psalms. Pray the Psalms. But there has to be an aspect that we're listening to what the Spirit of God is saying so we know where he wants to lead us. Because even if you read the book of Acts, sometimes the Spirit stops them from going certain places. And he guides them to stay or go elsewhere. We need to be attentive to where the Spirit is leading us. And with that, we need to pray with perseverance. Now, that doesn't mean I got to call off of work because I didn't get my prayer today. I got to keep praying. But it means you keep going. You keep going. Maybe it doesn't happen today. Maybe it doesn't happen tomorrow. Maybe it doesn't happen in a week. But you keep going after God. We know he hears us. And sometimes he wants us to press in further. And sometimes we have to, and there's war going on. But don't lose hope. Keep praying and knowing that he hears us and that according to his will, he will answer us. And he also says to pray for each other. Now, this is a big part. None of us individually are going to win this war. But together is what we're called to do, to fight. We're to pray for each other. And we're to pray, we should start always with our own congregation. I would say even start with your own family and then go to your congregation. Pray for the ICC. Pray for the Messianic congregations. Pray for the believers in America, for Israel. But start here. We need to be strong together. I always love, you know, I read stories, but some of these guys, special forces, they go out in teams of, you know, two, three, or four. These guys know each other. They rely on each other. Even when they're not, when they're on leave, they're thinking about their brothers in arms. And that's what we need to be like. We need to be lifting each other up in prayer. Because this, it gives us strength. It guides us. Think of Yeshua when he's in the garden. He says to his disciples, pray you will be not led into temptation. and how often the disciples, and Shaul even asking those to whom he wrote these letters, pray for me, pray for me. I mean, this is the greatest believer of all time. He's asking those whom he's discipling, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. What is Yeshua doing even now seated near his Father? He's interceding for us. He's praying for us. We need to be praying for each other. Shouldn't we be like our Master? Constantly lifting each other up. Because then we're strong. Then we're united. Yeshua said that we may be one as he and the Father are one. The world would know that we're his disciples because we're one. Next. And pray for me. Here's Shaul writing at the end. Pray for me when I open my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the good news for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may speak boldly the way I should. What does he say twice? Pray with boldness. Pray that I have boldness. When you go out and speak boldly, doesn't mean shoving it down someone's throat or shouting, but there's a confidence. There's that stand firm attitude. You go out and proclaim it boldly. Look, even with all his learning and his closeness to Yeshua, there are a lot of people who said, no, you're a fool. They didn't believe him. That's not his responsibility. Our responsibility is go out and preach it boldly. People even didn't believe Yeshua when he spoke to them. And I'm not talking about the religious leaders. People in his hometown said, who do you think you are? Aren't you Joseph's son? Don't let people's reactions dictate what you do. Go out there and preach boldly. Love them. Plus, you don't know what's going to happen in the future. And notice, this guy's in prison. Did he say, get me out of prison? Because even when he was in prison, he often had opportunity to share with the prison guards. Wherever we're placed, go and preach with boldness. If you're in a job and you hate it, find ways to preach in boldness. You got to pay the bills. You might as well do what you can. Next. All right, so this picture is from, it's in 1 Kings with Elisha, the disciple of Elijah. I always hate when Elisha, it's too close. So I'd like to say the Hebrew way. He tells this guy, Dotan, he says, he prays that God would open his eyes to see that there are angelic beings in chariots of fire. And God does, and he sees the angels behind the scenes. So it's something we can take away is that we have our eyes to be open to see what's going on, because what we see is just the surface. There's so much more behind the scenes that we need to see and be aware of. How often did it say Yeshua knew their hearts? He knew what was behind the scenes. We also need to be alert. Even sometimes praying, God, show me today. What do I need to see? What do I need to know? Where do I need to go? With whom do I need to speak? We need to read the word. And I'm going to say this as long as I'm here. I'm going to keep saying it and saying it and saying it. Read it and pray. Read the word and pray. Read the word and pray. If you're not doing what you feel is enough or you want to do more, 15 minutes back on your alarm is not really that big of a deal. It's not. And if those of us who are in the car and have a commute, you can listen to the Bible on through your phone. You can get a CD. There's multiple ways you can now digest the word. You don't just have to sit in a quiet room. During your lunch, you can read it while you eat. And the same thing with prayer. You need to pray. Have to pray. I'm not saying this, I'm trying to put guilt upon anybody, but it is so vital that even set your clock again, set it back 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Dedicate that time. Go in somewhere where you won't be distracted. Set a timer even. Those who know some like modern day workouts, sometimes they say you have a 12-minute timer. You do as many rounds of whatever workout you're doing. When that timer's up, you stop. So you just push yourself until that timer's over. Just put the timer on and I'm just going to pray. Because you know what the essence of praying is? Praying. Just pray. If you don't know how to pray, again, read the Psalms. But pray. Pray and then pray more. Monday nights we have prayer here. Wednesday nights there's prayer here. Chavarot, you have prayer, I would imagine. Find time, more time to pray. Pray with your family. Even my daughter this morning, I was praying, she comes in. And I don't want to discourage her, so I say, okay, sweetie, want to pray with Dada? She says, yeah. So we pray childlike prayers. But nonetheless, she's learning even at a young age that it's I need to pray. And she likes it because she gets to do it with me. Find ways to pray. And also with the word, I would even encourage you, find reading plans. Oftentimes people get, they don't know how to read it. Find a plan online. Personally, I like the MJAA's one, where you go through the whole Bible through the year. Friday and Saturday are dedicated only to the parasha and the haftarah. And otherwise, you're reading about 3 to 4 chapters a day. It's not unattainable. But find some plan that works for you. But go through it. Know it. Take notes on it. Be a student of it. And then lastly, we need to be stronger together. We need to lift each other up in prayer. We need to be able to share with each other and pray with each other. And again, I would encourage more, and I know what it's like to have a day job, but do your best. If you can't come on Mondays and Wednesdays, so try. Find times to pray. At least even with others, or do it on the phone. You can do it through Skype. You can do it on FaceTime. We have so many ways where we can connect with each other. It doesn't have to be in person. Person is best. But that doesn't mean you give up just because you can't make it on one of those times. People go on prayer walks. But find a way. If you need help, call me. This is my job. I'll help you. There are solutions to this. I always say there's a it's always a solution with God. You want to keep the will of God, there's always a solution. You might have to adjust your life a little bit, but there's always a solution. So with all this said, let's spend time in prayer. And the elders, if you're here, you come up, want to get personal prayer. I want to pray that we would see more in the Spirit. And those who want to move forward in this can get prayer for this. Those who want to pray more can get prayer for this. Those who want to read more get prayer for this. Those who want to be more connected with our body, this part of the body could get prayer for that. And as a congregation, even if you don't come up, just to pray that we would see more in the Spirit. Because the world's going to bombard us with information that really is unnecessary at the end of the day. We have to see through the Spirit to truly have lasting victory. So if the elders can come up now, if you want to come up and get prayer for what's just spoken on, or if you want to pray by in your seat,